We get the hour underway by welcoming back to the program our friend Michael Hurley of WBZ CBS Boston. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. Sources tell me, though, as I need to follow up on this with you directly, that you loved emo last year.
That's what the music platform Spotify is informing today. You know, it's funny. There's only a couple responses to that tweet that I put out, but emo doesn't really have a definition, really. It's just some people use it to mean any type of music they don't like, and they use it to make fun of me, which isn't very nice. So that's where we're at.
See, and I embrace that side of you.
I appreciate that. You know, this is a friendly situation, and that's why I'm so comfortable.
I'm glad. That's why we like to have you here with us. You wrote a really good piece that I enjoyed a lot, except that it reminded me of what I had tried not to think about. We're entering a really dark period in sports. Once this World Series wrapped up, we're down to a one-sport world.
Yeah, and that sport, being the football, seems to be not hanging by a thread, but awfully, you know, walking a tight rope through the COVID era. But it hit me watching Game 1 of the World Series, where, you know, it's October. It feels like World Series time, even though it was a weird year. But hockey's not starting, you know, next week, and basketball's not starting next week. We've got, you know, this indeterminate stretch of time, and I don't know if those leagues will start up in January or February. It's sort of very much an unknown. I think they all hoped, you know, they did a good job, basketball and hockey, to get their bubble playoffs done, but I think they hoped we were maybe in a better situation with the virus by the time the fall rolled around, and it seems like that's not the case. So, yeah, it just puts the added stress on the NFL to not screw it up, because without them, we're in a whole lot of trouble in the months ahead.
You've also said or suggested that, anybody playing fantasy football would be wise to have a Tampa Bay 12 active this week.
Yeah, and, well, again, the COVID thing might mess that up if the entire Raiders offensive line is currently in quarantine, which is never a good thing for a football team. That's a little expertise I'm dropping on you for free there.
Thank you.
But I do wonder, because Brady is obviously the king of slights. Like I said in the story, he's probably still mad about Drew Henson, even though, you know, 6 Super Bowl wins and 9 Super Bowl appearances have come since then. So I wonder, you know, the Raiders had a chance to pursue Tom Brady as they made a significant franchise move from Oakland to Las Vegas. So I wonder if somewhere deep down in that weird, crazy body of Tom Brady, he's miffed at the Las Vegas Raiders for deciding they didn't need Tom Brady. So maybe not, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like Brady has made it as far as he has for as long as he has by inventing slights and using them to his advantage. So I would like to think that the Las Vegas Raiders choosing Derek Carr over himself will be one of those opportunities.
Yeah, there you go. Michael Hurley, CBS Boston, with us on Downtown. With the Broncos game, was that just a weird blip on the radar because so many guys weren't available?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I think it was ultimately a huge victory for high school football coaches all around the country who will now hammer it into their players' heads that practice is the most important thing in the world. So that's an unfortunate development for all the teenagers that hate practice, that their coaches will have that ace in the hole, so to speak. But I think we did learn that practice matters. The offensive line, really, I mean, it's not fun to talk about. It doesn't make for great radio or TV segments, but when your offensive line is that tattered and that pieced together with units that have never played together, it's hard to really, you know, develop any sort of rhythm or success. And combine that with a quarterback who looks really rusty, it was ugly. I mean, for all of the good things Cam Newton did in the first couple of weeks of the year, he did poorly in this game. So it was kind of a confluence of events. I think that was rock bottom. That's not to say they don't have issues or hurdles going forward, but I don't think we'll ever see them look that bad again.
What's the state of the offensive line as they get ready for the 49ers?
Well, I think, you know, knowing Illuminor is not in there helps them at least, you know, probably put in Wenyu out there at right tackle. From there, you can kind of work the interior. If David Andrews can play, that's obviously significant. Shaq Mason, he is back from the COVID list, but he's still in the injury report with calf, which cost him the Kansas City game. So you need to hope that, I mean, you would think at the time off his calf would have healed, but it has not. So that's obviously concerning. But if you can at least get one of those guys back, Andrews or Mason, it should help, you know, present a much more presentable offensive line come Sunday afternoon.
Should Patriots fans be worried about Julian Edelman, who was more effective as a passer than a receiver last week.
I don't think so, and I've heard that a lot this week, I guess because the numbers aren't there and the production isn't there, but there were times last week he was open and Cam just didn't go to him. There was another time he was open on an out route and Cam just one-hopped it in there. I understand that after a 180-yard performance in Seattle, maybe the expectations were elevated, but I watched every play, breaking down the routes and everything, and he was open several times. It's just Cam was really bad on Sunday, and I think that's the biggest thing is I don't know that we're going to go and blame Julian Edelman for bad decisions and bad passes. I mean, one in particular, Julian Edelman was wide open in the middle of the field. Just free money, 15, 20-yard gain. Newton instead went for a deep shot to Demir Byrd, who was, he had a step on his guy, but it wasn't a sure thing. Underthrew it, incomplete. Those were the type of things where Edelman still looked like Edelman. The ball just wasn't going. So I would expect that to be adjusted because he is the ultimate chain mover. He is the guy when you need to develop rhythm, I would look nowhere else than number 11. So maybe last week was a reminder of that for Cam.
Should I give up on my dream that N'Keal Harry was going to turn into a really quality receiver?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, he's got the body, right? It's just he doesn't get thrown the ball down the field. It's just not happening. I would guess, I mean, I don't have a straight number for you, but I would guess of his receptions this year, 70% of them have been within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage or behind it. So they basically use him like a gadget player, sort of like, Cordero Patterson. But he's the first-round pick at wide receiver in a year where some receivers were really good after him. And, yeah, that one's not looking spectacular now. I think, it's still salvageable, but the idea of a first-round big body, ex-receiver like that, you kind of anticipate 80 catches, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. I'm not seeing that.
As they get ready to defend the 49ers this week, what will be the key to slowing down Jimmy Garoppolo? Do they try and mix up the coverage?
Yeah, I mean, the guy doesn't throw the ball downfield. Speaking of not going downfield, Garoppolo is basically keeping everything, short. I guess you want to clog that and dare him to beat you deep. Now, he can do it, but I think the smartest thing would be to really, muddy the waters in the box, really prevent, the short game and see if he can beat you because that has not been his game and he can be confused, he can make mistakes. He is as I put out on Twitter today with a statistical comparison, he is a more handsome Kirk Cousins. So I would advise everyone not to get caught up in the Jimmy G got away, all this stuff. Just look at him as Kirk Cousins with a better smile and a stronger chin. And it kind of takes away a lot of the threat that you might feel when such a handsome man enters the stadium.
Well, and as you pointed out, though, those Super Bowl rings aren't all that easy to come by, so it was certainly worth it in the big picture.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing, and I guess it's just a Boston thing. And like I said in the story, it's only natural that when when the region covers so many Super Bowl victories that our perspectives are warped and messed up and just really screwy. But you don't ever... It's never a bad move when you end up winning the Super Bowl. It just isn't. And it's never a bad move when you stick with the greatest quarterback to ever play the sport. To even contemplate it, I think, is lunacy. To even sit here and lament it in any way that Jimmy G was let go and Tom Brady stayed. When they made it to a Super Bowl after trading Jimmy G, they lost because Malcolm Butler was benched. Then they made it back the next year and won it, which in most cities is the one moment of glory you might get for four decades. The New York Jets haven't been in the Super Bowl since 1968. 12 teams have never won a Super Bowl. 4 teams have never played in a Super Bowl. Those people would chew their arms off for the chance to win a Super Bowl. So I think to sit here and say, they should have kept Jimmy, is just crazy talk because there is a Lombardi Trophy in Foxborough to signify that it was not indeed a bad move.
Michael, I was impressed that you noted the stylish move of Bill Belichick in throwing his challenge flag.
Yeah, it seems like I don't think he likes throwing that thing. I think it's sort of, why am I doing this? And that was a real waste of a time. I mean, there should be a better system when the refs clearly miss a touchdown, as they did in that game. Instead, we have to walk all the way down to the goal line. We have to throw the red flag. We have to go to commercials. The referee has to jog 80 yards this way, watch a video, jog 80 yards back. It's an absolute waste of time. I think Belichick just wishes they got it right. and he's not shy about letting them know when he's not impressed with their work. So very good form on that. Just disgusted, just spiked it. You know, it was maybe, you know, he got talked about this week for maybe taking a veiled shot at Gronk, but that was a nice homage to Gronk, guys, just spiking that red flag.
And when he does it, let's be honest, he spikes it for all of us.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that.
No. There you go. Michael Hurley, CBS Boston, WBZ. Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate you checking in with us, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you, sir. Michael Hurley with us on Downtown.